Okay, let me present Ulrich Kotte from Heidelberg. He's going to talk about the Vigra image library, which is generic template metaprogramming with a strong focus on learning algorithms.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, thank you for the introduction. Speaking of sexy library names, so Vigra has some potential. So the outline is kind of obvious, so I will just start. So it started in 1997 in my PhD project, and the original goal was to generalize the C++ SDL, which was new at the time, to two dimensions, and implement generic image processing stuff on top of that abstractions. In 2000, I had the first official release under the MIT license, which is still the license today. So you can do anything you want, even sell it. And then it has evolved quite a bit since then. And I will show some of these things in detail. And unfortunately, it has also lots of unofficial functionality, which doesn't yet meet the quality standards of the rest. So I refuse to release it. But just ask if you have some special wishes. So the philosophy, I would like to lift image processing programming to a higher level of abstraction so that models the application domain. And to do that, we need to standardize the interface between algorithms and data structures. And I chose templates in C++ because templates are quite good in eliminating the abstraction overhead that occurs due to these abstractions. And this is actually very much a moving target. So the abstractions I could optimize away 10 years ago are much more complicated than the abstraction I can now optimize away. So whenever I tried to write a tutorial on Vigra, I realized that the abstractions were already outdated, and I invented better ones, and so still no tutorial exists. So sorry for that. So, and a nice thing about C++ and templates is that it works for very large data sets. So now we are mainly into biomedical applications, so where biologists routinely produce tens of gigabytes of data, even terabytes, and that has to be handled by the underlying image processing library. So we also have scripting support, mainly Python, some MATLAB, and something that I believe few other libraries have implemented is the full integration with the standard NumPy packages, so that we don't need to convert data or replicate the data. And that wouldn't be possible for the very large data sets anyway. So we just have one copy and move around the pointers in an orderly way. And also the Vigra parallelization is right now done on the Python level. So I will show something later. So I'm very much interested in high quality. So I only include algorithms that stood the test of time, not as many as possible as some other libraries try. And 30% of the code is actually test code. So it's portable to the usual systems. So here, just as a teaser, that's an electron microscopy 3D image of some brain tissue provided by people in Lausanne. So it's about 2,000 cubed at 5 nanometer isotropic resolution. And our task was to detect the synapses. So the green things here are the synapses that we found. And the ultimate goal is what's called connectomics, so how the brain is wired internally. So here is the original design, so the straightforward translation of SDL to 2D. So the iterators now have two members, Y and X. And if you increment X or Y, then the obvious thing happens. Unfortunately, this design did not scale up to arbitrary many dimensions. So I had to come up with something else. So first I tried hierarchical iterators, but they turned out to be very difficult to use. So what's much better is what's called the multi-array view. and the multi-array. So it's a multi-dimensional array class, and a view is a smart pointer to a multi-dimensional array. So this holds the data. And it's used very much like you know from MATLAB. So you construct an array, you access an array either by indexes or by a shape object. You can call expression templates. That proved to be hugely popular with users. So formerly I used functors like in the SDL, or I used lambda expression like in Boost Lambda. But that was what the users wanted. So, and then I can create subarrays. These are still views, or I can transpose the order of the axes. I can reduce the number of dimensions by binding one dimension or several to certain values. And so this is the main abstraction within Vikra right now. And compilers are now so good that the abstraction overhead of this abstraction is totally eliminated. So it's as fast as if you would program your loops manually. So here, that's something that only recently became feasible. So again, it's something that can be completely optimized away, linear iteration. So if your memory is one contiguous piece, that's easy. It's just a pointer. But if you have subarrays or transposed dimensions or bound dimensions, then it's a mess. And the linear iterator handles the mess completely transparently. So, and there's even a variation where you can plug in up to 5 arrays and iterate over these arrays simultaneously. So you get the corresponding pixels by the get functions and the current coordinate by the point function. So that's very convenient and very fast. So type inference, I think, so we use traits classes, and I will not spend time on that slide because Theo already spoke about these things. So an interesting thing is, so flexible algorithms have many options. And in C++, you can have default arguments to functions, but you can leave open these defaults only from back to front. And that's not what you need in image processing. So there's an arbitrary selection of defaults and an arbitrary selection of options that you want to set. And I introduced option objects to do that, inspired by the keyword arguments in Python. So I, for the Gaussian smoothing, for example, I instantiate a convolution option object. And then I have functions that are the keywords. And then the values these keywords should be set to. And everything else that's not shown is kept at default values. So that proved to be very convenient for users and also reasonably easy to implement. So you just have to provide this option object whenever you want to support this functionality. So, and by the way, you also see here that the convolution in Vikra supports uneven resolution, so it will adjust the scale of the filter for the resolution here. So it will actually apply a much smaller filter along the Z direction in that case. So library contents, that are mainly the usual suspects. So we have the data structures, we have file I/O. After the initial release, file I/O of image file formats was the most frequent request. So I wanted to do image analysis, but people wanted file I/O. So I had to implement file I/O, or had the student implement it, rather. So then we have the filters. Quite new is also total variation regularization, including higher order total variation, so where you have second curvature terms, second order curvature terms. Then features, differential n-jets. So a feature that is very popular in our applications is the eigenvalues of the Hessian matrix, so the eigenvalues of the second derivative matrix. And in order to compute that efficiently, you also need the eigendecomposition code in the library. So just for computing the eigenvalues of the second derivative, you don't want to install a numerics library like PETSI or something. You want this to be in the image processing library. So because they are very small systems, not some difficult stuff, but you want it. Yeah, and object statistics is something I'm going to show later. So here are the examples for the data import and export. So we have import info and export info that store the metadata, and then this import image and export image that actually do the export. This is a recent addition 2 years ago. So HDF5 file is our main data type for multidimensional arrays now. So you can open a file and then navigate through the file, like a file system, CD or something, and then read a data set in its entirety, or if you wish, also a small block of it, which is of course very important if you have gigabytes of data and you just want to process the piece of the data that's actually displayed on screen, which is usually much less than a gigabyte. So then watersheds. So here you see it also the use of option objects again. So we first compute the gradient magnitude, then we create watershed seeds. And here you see the seed options. We want the minima of the gradients, but only those minima where the gradient is below a value of 2. And that's how you specify these things with option objects. And then you call the watershed. You can provide the neighborhood system, and you can again provide a number of options for the watershed algorithm. And the seeds will be overwritten. This should work in any dimension, but when I prepared this slide, I realized that the syntax for higher dimension was much more complicated and would not fit on the slide. So that's something I have to revise. So then a very important part of our current research is machine learning. So using machine learning in image analysis, for example, in order to segment images. First, I would like to show how we train a random forest and use a random forest. And a random forest is our main classification and regression algorithm. So there are, of course, many choices like support vector machines and so on. But the random forest is by far the easiest to use because you essentially don't have to provide any parameters or so. It just works out of the box. So ideal for biologists, for example. So, and it has very good classification accuracy. And it is also very fast. So if my computer had worked, I could have done a demo. So unfortunately, you will miss the demo. But there are videos on the internet of in the Elastic site. So we have matrices. And matrix is essentially only another name for multi-array of two dimensions. So it's essentially the same thing. One array of one matrix of features and one matrix of true labels. So that's the training data. Then we learn the train the classifier by the learn function. And then we have features that we would like to predict. We have a matrix of the probabilities that we are interested in. So, and then the random forest is called to predict these probabilities for each class. For example, in our Synapse application, we would have the classes cell membrane and cell interior space and Synapse, for example. So here is the same thing for images. So the feature matrix is now a three-dimensional multi-array, because we want to use three features. So we have width, height of the image, and three features. And then we bind the multi-array to some value in the last dimension, and then put in the different features. Here, the original data, the smooth data, and the gradient magnitude. And then we reshape these features. So the S-shape function is something that doesn't exist yet, so the actual syntax is a little more complicated right now, but that's something I'm going to add. And then we have a matrix-like type, it's only two dimensions, and we can plug the matrix into the random forest to predict labels, right? And then we get an image where each pixel contains the label of the class, like membrane, cell interior, or synapse, that it is most likely to belong to. So then, a thing that is underestimated, or whose difficulty is underestimated, is the computation of statistics. So everyone says that computing the mean or the variance or whatever statistics is straightforward and has been known for 200 years. But there is a combinatorial explosion of possibilities. So we can compute these statistics globally or per region. We can compute on values or on coordinates, so the mean of the values or the centroid of the region. We can compute weighted statistics or plain statistics. We can compute centralized statistics, normalized statistics, and you name it. So the list goes on and on. And in the end, if people do not support all the combinations that are possible, people end up using just the combinations they have, and they are usually not optimal for the application at hand. So, and what we have, so it's not yet released, but will be released in summer. So it's ready. So we have what's called an accumulator chain array that uses such a coupled iterator I spoke about earlier. And then you have a select statement. So you say that the first image are the data, the second image are the region labels. So we are doing region statistics here. So, and then we want to compute the mean and the variance of the values. We want to compute the mean and the variance of the coordinates. And we want to compute the mean and the variance globally. So, and that's how you specify what you need. And then you create your coupled iterators and call the collect statistics function. And then you get, in an optimal way, what you specified. So the interesting thing is, for example, to compute the mean, you also need to compute the number of points, because you divide the sum by the mean, and that's added automatically here. So all the dependencies of these statistics are added automatically, and there's no redundancy. So then we have the parallelization, which, as I said, is done on the Python level. So again, for the synapse detection workflow. So the vGraph functions are embedded in LazyFlow operator. So LazyFlow is a Python library we implemented, which supports execution graphs like these. Since we only have a rather small number of execution graphs, we program these graphs manually without visual programming. And then the requests are generated at the output. And then the LazyFlow will create from the output request a set of tasks, and then will execute these tasks in parallel. So, and this scales quite well for algorithms that support parallelization. So there, of course, watershed are more difficult because it's a global method. So some conclusions. So we have shown that vGraph is suitable for very large data sets. It's, besides Elastic, also used, for example, in LibreOffice and tuck-in panorama tools. And I found that users prefer simple syntax over flexibility as long as they don't need the flexibility. So the next steps are, what I would like to have is grid-based and graph-based processing by the same abstractions, and again, without abstraction penalty. And I believe, and our experiments show, that this is now possible without abstraction penalty on the grid. So, and the API has to be selected, Lemon, Graph, something else, whatever. It's always a difficult decision. So we would probably like to have parallelization on C++ level. So, but there's not yet a portable parallelization framework. So POSIX threads are not available on Windows. Intel threading building blocks are not available on non-Intel machines, and so on. And then we also would like to have the same strategy for all levels of parallelization, loop parallelization, thread parallelization, cluster parallelization, and not program something new for everything. But that's probably not possible right now. And then we have to find parallel versions of global algorithms like graph cuts and watersheds. So there are many proposals, but also if you implement them, they don't scale very well when you use more processors. So right now threads are like spaghetti codes. We really need better abstractions for parallelization. And I would like to take the opportunity to thank all contributors to Vikra and thank you for listening. And that's another example of neuron segmentation that we did with Elastic and Vikra and other libraries as mentioned here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your talk. Are there any questions? I would like to make one. I see that you're not still supporting images defined over graphs. How hard will it be to add them to?
Excuse me, can you repeat?
I mean, images where the pixels are graph, the edges, the vertices of a graph.
Mm-hmm.
You say that you want to support them.
How yes.
Will it require huge changes to the code, or will it be simple?
No. So what we are implementing right now is what we call a grid graph class, or a grid graph adapter, rather. So you plug in any multi-array, and you get out a graph interface of it.
So it will and be only a grid, not a general graph.
No, it will support, probably it will support the abstract interface of the Lemon library, but internally it will work on a grid. Okay. So for non-grid graphs, we will then probably use what Lemon already has, and then we will provide the Lemon interface for grid graphs, and we hope that graph algorithms like watershed, graph-based watershed applied to our grid graph implementation will be as fast as the watershed algorithm directly on the grid. Okay. So that would be the goal.
Well, thank you.